How many have heard of Goethe, the German author? He wrote a lot of things, but this is one thing that I wanted to introduce this message with. He said that men are so constituted that everyone undertakes what he sees another successful in, whether he has the aptitude for it or not. God made us to be imitators. And this passage says, imitate God. That's what the passage that we have read to us today. Now, God made us into imitators, and we see this in children, don't we? I mean, you watch little children, and what do? They imitate anybody that's placed in front of them. It doesn't matter if the imitation is a good one or not a good imitation. It doesn't matter if what they're imitating is good or not. They just imitate it. And we see this as a learning process. Some say it's the best learning process is to imitate as a primary way of learning rather than just learning principles. You know, emulating an example is more powerful than just memorizing a precept when someone actually does something and imitates someone. Well, why has God given us this capacity to imitate? Why has God given it to us? It becomes obvious as we read this text in the very first part, the imitators of God. Paul is dealing here not just with the positive aspects of imitation, but about the negative aspects of imitation. And we're going to look at this, and as God's children, we need to learn how to imitate our Father in heaven. And at the same time, avoid imitating the world that distracts us from imitating God. So, first of all, this first verse, we have a primary goal. Now, the word primary means number one. It means top of the list. What is top of the list? If there was nothing else we could do, if we could just imitate God, that would be primary. That would be the first and the best thing we could do, is to imitate God. So it is a primary goal that we have. And this imitating nature in humanity fulfills the special purpose that God had for us. And that was that He wanted us, in the creation of human beings, He wanted us to be like Him. He made us in His image. And in that image was a free will. But God is also the example that image is to replicate or is to imitate. Now that was in creation. We say, we know that there was a fall into sin and that the original creation is not the same now. But we're left being imitators. But it's his purpose also in salvation that we be imitators. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. How do we get to be dearly loved children? Being born again. Now, the new birth is a good metaphor. If you just took the new birth and you started thinking about birth and you think about the Christian life, there's so many similarities. There's so many things about it. But especially this area of imitation. Behavioral scientists, I guess you'd say psychologists that are behavioral scientists, have discovered something in animals called imprinting. Have you ever heard of imprinting? I studied it when I was in school. It's as animals develop real early on in their infancy, these animals start imprinting on themselves whatever they see as a parent. Now, it could be an object. They've done experiments on this, and it could be an object dressed up like something with eyes, and it's not even real, not even alive. But that becomes their parent. Or it could be another animal, or it could be an animal that's one of their kind. And there's this imprinting process that happens so that if there's a little baby duck or something that sees a dog, well, it tries to think that that's the mother, and it'll start going with it. Rosemary and I got to see these little kittens that were nursing on a dog one time. It really, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it happened. It was really, the dog was producing milk. And those kittens were going to that like a mother, you know, and she was treating them like, well, this kind of dog was a special dog, but was treating those kittens like this, like she was their mother. Well, anyway, this imprinting is a good example of what the new birth is supposed to be for us, because Jesus, being close to Jesus, he will put his image, he will imprint his image on us. He will imprint that divine nature so that we will follow him. And this is why Jesus was given to us, not just to save us, but to be our example. Now, this is a totally new concept, the imitators of God. In the Greek and Roman world, people would not say that. Basically, the deities of Rome and Greek mythology, these deities were not any kind of moral examples to imitate. People were never pointed that way. These deities had envy and greed and sexual immorality and violence and vengefulness. And even though pagan philosophers would have a concept of God being a just God, being a loving God, even though they had that concept in their hearts, they could never find in their pantheon of deities, they could never find a God like that. And so with something in their hearts, God was speaking to them. And many of these philosophers wrote things, but they could never find those among their gods. So when the early church fathers began to preach, they came up with things like this. And here was Clement of Alexandria. He said that a true Christian wise man practices being God. Practices being God. Now, that's impossible. How can you do that? It's not impossible. It's not impossible if we are dearly loved children of God. And we are. We're dearly loved children of God when we've been born again by new birth. The new birth is not an intellectual acceptance. If it was on our own strength, it wouldn't happen. But it's by the power of the Holy Spirit giving us new birth, making us to be God's children. And when we are God's children, we can practice being like God. We can practice as, or even put it in stronger terms, practice being God. How would God live? Practice being that way. That's how we're supposed to live. Now, how do you do that? How do you imitate God? Well, we have a perfect example in verse 2. A perfect example to follow. It's Jesus. It's to live a life of love just as Christ loved us. Just as Christ loved us. As I said before, Jesus came not just to save us from our sin, a life of sin, but he came to save us into a life of love. He came to show us how that life of love was to be lived. So Jesus was actually, nobody can say about Jesus, you know, he told us this, he told us to do this, but he never showed us how to do it. Jesus became, when God became flesh and dwelt among us, he showed us how to live. He showed us how to live. Jesus had an invitation. He said, come unto me, a God of love. Come unto me, is what he said. But he gave us a command. If we were to be his followers, he gave us a command, and he said, follow me by living a life of love, because that's what I'm doing. And so it's not just come to get saved. It is come to Christ, and then to follow Christ the way that he lived. As I said, it's like when people say, do as I do, not as I... No, do as I say, not as I do. That's a real bad parenting line. Because children are smart enough to see that if you're saying, do as I do, but not as... do as I say, but not as I do, that's hypocrisy. Well, no one can accuse God of that. Because when he became human, he lived just exactly the way he told us to live. That's important. That's important. That is a good father. So, imitating the example of Jesus Christ, imitating his example. His example, he loved us. and gave himself up for us is the way to please God. It was pleasing to God what Jesus did. In fact, the verse here says, was a fragrant offering. As Jesus did this, it was a fragrant offering and pleasing sacrifice to God. That was what his example was to God. If we live that way, we also will be that fragrance. We will be that pleasing sacrifice to God. He will appreciate that. He will love that. He will bless that. But that's not all. Because that not only gives us a blessing from God, that fulfills what we were created to be. That human fulfillment can get no better than us imitating God. Because we were created in God's image so that we could reflect God's glory in this physical universe. And I put the word physical in there for a reason. Because it's part of our experience right now, living in this physical planet Earth, in physical body, to give that image of God to other people, to show forth His glory. But someday we will be in resurrected bodies. They will be physical, but they will be transformed into a certain kind of physical that we don't understand. We've only seen it in Christ as His resurrected body. But we will be in this physical universe still. And we will fulfill throughout eternity this wonderful purpose of manifesting the image of God, being imitators of God throughout this universe. That's a great purpose, and that is very fulfilling. We're going to do that. So let's start now doing it. Free will is what it takes. It's a choice. Free will is an essential part of being in the image of God, because God functions by free will. A lot of people don't let God function by free will. They say, oh, God has to be this way, God has to be that way. No, He chooses to be a God of love. And it's because He chooses to be a God of love that it's love anyway. Love is a choice. And God has chosen that way. It just so happens that He chooses eternally to be that way. It will never change. Because He is such a good person. He will choose that way forever. And He has free will. Well, He has given us free will. And our free will is different than God's free will. Because God's pretty consistent. Our free will gets up and down and chooses different ways many times. We are not mechanical. No, mirrors are mechanical. I'm looking into a mirror right now. It's facing me. You know, it's throwing back my reflection. It doesn't make a choice about it. It just throws it back at me. Mirrors are mechanical. Whatever is set in front of them, they will reflect back. Whether it's a beautiful woman or if it's an ugly monster, they'll reflect it back. And little children, many times, little tiny children, they reflect back the activities that are not acceptable if they were grown up, but they see it in another person and they reflect it back. There's an advertisement that is for mothers not to smoke while they are pregnant. And it's got a picture of this little infant, this little fetus. He's got his cigarette up inside of her womb. It's got a sort of a cross diagram. And it's got a little fetus all waddled up there with a cigarette in its mouth because the mother, you see, is smoking. And basically they're receiving all the smoke from that. Your baby smokes too. But if you carry that out, that child living in an environment where the mother smokes will probably say, yeah, I think I will too. Imitating. But as children get older, they begin to choose what they're going to reflect. They make more of an intellectual choice. They use different criteria to choose it, but many times they will not live as their parents live. Or they will go and live among some friends and say, this is how I want to live. I want to live like them. And not always is that right. But God has set in front of us the example. He knows that we have this ability to reflect, this mirror-like ability. He knows we are imitators. And so He has set before us his son. And he says, live like him. Imitate Christ. Be like Jesus. That's wonderful. Because freedom to do this means to be, to take the distractions and push the distractions of this world aside and to keep Jesus. Freedom to be a reflection of God means freedom from being a reflection of just our environment, just what we picked up in this world. But we do have these distractions. We do have distractions. And Paul goes on in verse 3 through 5 to discuss these. God's our example, or God's our goal. It's our example to be. He's going to start praying for me, aren't we? So what are the distractions? Let's just read them real quickly here. This is wonderful that my wife is doing this. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Freedom to imitate God means freedom from the distractions of this world. How do we do that? We spend time with the Word of God. We spend time looking into the face of Jesus Christ in prayer as we study His Word. I entitled this message Unintimidated Imitation, because the world tries to get us to imitate it. And God says, imitate Him. The world is afraid that we would imitate God, because it is so the light of love. Greed, sexual immorality, all of those things do not reflect God's love. It's a counterfeit love. And we would ask God to bless us in helping us to meditate upon Him, to keep Him ever before us, to get this Word open during the week, not just on Sundays, so that the true freedom of humanity, our true freedom, will be found in living a life of love, as Jesus said, for us to live. He said, come, follow me. And that's what we want to do. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love, your goodness, your grace. Thank you for drawing us to yourself, saving us, but then giving us a life that we could live. Now, Lord, there are distractions. There are distractions in this world. Lord, help us not to fall into any of these, but to be totally dedicated to you, reflecting Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.